Welcome to Funeral Potatoes and Wool Mittens, a show for people who embrace the warm and cozy spirit of everyday living in the Northern Midwest. From the blog Random Sweets, I'm your host, Stacy Mergenthal. Well, we have been talking about this episode for a month or two, and I've been asking you to share your recipe for funeral potatoes or hash brown casserole with me. And it was such a treat when you sent them to me. It really felt like a gift because I genuinely cherish the history and significance of handed down family recipes. Thank you to those 8 of you who shared your recipe. And for those of you who have been listening to the podcast and you reached out letting me know that you don't have a recipe, I think you'll find a few in this episode that you may want to try. So let's get to it. It's time to talk all things funeral potatoes, also known as cheesy hash brown casserole and many other names. It's the ultimate comfort food enjoyed at holidays and family get-togethers. Southern barbecue joints serve it alongside their sloppy ribs and coleslaw. The dish makes a weekly appearance on senior dining and school lunch menus across the United States, and it's a popular food to share at funeral luncheons. Cheesy hash brown recipes have graced the pages of cookbooks, community cookbooks, and family recipe boxes for years, and the recipes that I'm sharing today are all on randomsweets.com. In addition to sharing recipes on this episode, I'll also share everything from what the common ingredients are and how people change things up, like adding taco seasoning or not even using cheese, to how to prep, cook, and store funeral potatoes and how to make them in advance if you can, and how much to make for a crowd. So let's start with the name of the dish. It's funeral potatoes, okay, so there's many names, and you may not know what funeral potatoes are, but you maybe just don't know it by that name. So funeral potatoes are also called hash brown casserole, cheesy hash browns, party potatoes, company potatoes, cheesy hash brown casserole, Cracker Barrel potatoes, because some of you have had this at the Cracker Barrel restaurant, hash brown baked potatoes, taco potato casserole, hash brown potatoes, company potato casserole, and many others. These are just the ones that I have seen, or they're named in my family, or they're the names of the recipes from those of you who submitted recipes to this episode. So why funeral potatoes? People say to me, it seems like a really morbid name for a side dish. Why would you call something funeral potatoes, and why would you name your podcast after it? But depending on who you ask, many regions claim to have either created or named cheesy hash brown casserole funeral potatoes. You'll hear it referred to funeral potatoes very heavily in the Mormon community in Utah, but if you read articles and look at recipes from the southern U.S., lots of people know what you're talking about, and they have their own recipes and they call them funeral potatoes. And that's the same with the Midwest, but there are also a lot of people in those areas who have never heard of them called funeral potatoes, or maybe anything else. So it's fun to share these recipes today. A friend of mine, his name is Jeremy Grant. He lives in Colorado, but we grew up next door to each other in Brookings, South Dakota. And he messaged me saying that he doesn't have a recipe to share. And he even tried looking one up in his wife's 4-H Friends cookbook, from a Nebraska cookbook from May of 1985. And he said 290 pages and still struck out. So Jeremy, if this is something that you want to make, you're going to get some recipes today that you could make at home, finally. So the reason for the name funeral potatoes is the same, though, in all places. So it's a popular dish to serve at a funeral luncheon or even to share with a grieving family because a lot of people like it. It's pretty simple to make. It can be made ahead. Doesn't take a lot of ingredients. So it's just become a popular dish for a funeral luncheon. And like I said, the Mormons in Utah will tell you that they came up with that first. So I'm not going to argue with anybody. I'm just going to call it that. And in my family, we actually don't call them funeral potatoes. We call it hash brown casserole. But if you listen to episode 1, I shared why I used that name in my podcast. It's really about the comfort food and the sense of community and generosity that dish evokes Plus, I wanted a podcast name that would catch people's attention, and this one does, even if some people don't love it. And sometimes people refer to their scallop potatoes as funeral potatoes. I've had some people say that to me, that they make scallop potatoes, and that's kind of what they call funeral potatoes in their family, because that's a common dish, especially in the Midwest, to share and serve at a funeral luncheon is scallop potatoes. And I love those too. So what's in funeral potatoes or hash brown casserole? So if you haven't heard of it, don't know what this is, it's a very serious comfort food dish. This is not a healthy food dish here, which is probably why it's more common a few times a year served at holidays. But the most common ingredients, when you see all different kinds of recipes, most of them include frozen, shredded, or cubed hash brown potatoes, cheese, sour cream, some sort of a cream soup, and then onion or onion flakes, like the dried onion flakes, and butter. And then the dish is often topped, not always, but it's often topped with a cornflake cereal or potato chips crushed up with some butter sprinkled over the top. So just to get the idea of how we make the dish, I'll share my recipe first, and then we can just talk about the ingredients and how people change things up. But my recipe is called hash brown casserole. And this recipe was given to me, it was at least 20 years ago, or probably 20 years ago. The recipe, I didn't grow up with this as a dish in our family growing up. And my kids' grandma, Shirley Voss, must have made it at a family get together. And it would have been probably, 1999, 2000, 2001, 2002. And I loved the dish, so I asked her to share the recipe with me. And this is what I have from her, and I'll just kind of mention the few things that I've changed a little as time has gone by. So it takes 2 cups of grated cheddar, 12 ounces of sour cream, 1 can of cream of chicken soup, 2 pounds of frozen hash browns, onions or onion flakes, and 1/2 cup of butter melted. Now that's the inside, that doesn't have the top, that's not the topping. So you mix all those ingredients together in a big bowl. Gotta use a big bowl. You have to have a bowl that you don't use very often because it's so big and it's a pain in the, you know what, to get out of the cupboard every time you need it, but it's easier to stir all of this together when you have a big bowl. Okay, so you're going to stir all that together and then place it into a 9x13 pan that's been sprayed with cooking spray or somehow greased. And then what I do is cover it with foil, and then I bake it for about 45 minutes, sometimes 45, covered with foil. Then I take it back out, take the foil off, and then that's when I sprinkle on 2 cups of cornflakes that have been crushed up, and then sprinkle those over the top, and then drizzle over with 1/4 cup of melted butter. And then Shirley also has on her recipe, and I do this sometimes, is sprinkle with paprika. So it gives a little bit of smokiness to the top. And then I put it back into the oven without the foil on it. So now it's going to start browning and crisping up on the top. I just prefer to do it that way because to me, the cornflakes stay a little bit crispier if you don't put them on until the end. And I don't want the whole dish to get really brown, so I don't want it to be uncovered for the whole time. So that is how I make mine, which is not a lot different than a lot of other people, how they make theirs. So really the ingredients are pretty basic, but the recipes vary because you can switch up the versions of ingredients. For example, a recipe might call for a can of cream of chicken soup, which the recipe that Shirley gave to me is cream of chicken, but you can use whatever soup that you like best. So some people use cream of mushroom, which I have one in my pile here today that has mushroom, which I don't use. Or they'll use cheddar. I use cream of onion soup. I love the cream of onion. Now, if I double my recipe, I do like to use 1 can of cream of onion and 1 can of cream of chicken. My sister Heidi, she makes her own homemade cream of chicken soup. And I posted her recipe on my website as well with this blog post for all of these recipes. It's a few extra steps, but I haven't tried it, but she said it's so much better homemade than in the can that that's the way she does it. So I am willing to give it a try. Anything that doesn't come out of a can but doesn't take too much extra time, I'm all in. So cheesy hash browns. Now, I'm gonna share a recipe today that doesn't have cheese in it, but we're gonna talk about the cheese. Cheddar is the most common cheese. I like to use sharp or extra sharp cheddar, but as you'll hear when I share a few of the recipes today, like Amanda Runya's mother-in-law, she puts shredded Velveeta in hers. And my friend Amy Bastian, she likes to use Colby Jack. Now my sister-in-law, Betsy Ziegler, I like this. She adds a little zip to her hash brown casserole by using a Fiesta cheese blend. And then Judy Thompson's recipe for company potato casserole, it doesn't even have cheese in it, which is really nice for people like my daughter who she can't eat a lot of cheese at one time or she gets a stomach ache. So it's kind of fun to see that there is a recipe that's similar to cheesy hash browns that doesn't have the cheese in it. So, oh, you know what I need to do now that our smoker's uncovered from the winter snow is I need to smoke some cheese to make cheesy hash browns. And that recipe for smoked cheese that my husband Jason does is on randomsweets.com. So if you want to know how to smoke cheese, you can find it there. That's going to be good. All right, sour cream. So all the recipes I'm sharing today contain sour cream. And I don't recall ever seeing one without sour cream, but it seems like people substitute Greek yogurt sometimes for sour cream in recipes. So I don't really see a reason why you couldn't do that if you don't want to use sour cream. But I do know that my sister Callie, who does not like sour cream, she does use it in her recipe. And I love when she makes her dish, it's so good. So, all right, what's next here? You know, I've been putting this episode together and, oh, I got the idea. I'm going to go over the place here, but, you know, we're putting sour cream in there. And I thought, you know, French onion chip dip is a sour cream based dip. So I'm thinking, I haven't done it yet, but I'm thinking I'd like to try the French onion chip dip in place of the sour cream. Maybe half and half, but I think it'd be fine to just use the whole thing. And so any kind of a sour cream based chip dip might be good in there too, if you want to think about switching yours out. If you do that, let me know, or if you already do it, let me know, because I want to know if it's pretty good. Okay, so back to the list here, hash browns. In the Midwest, we typically use frozen shredded hash browns, but I've seen multiple recipes that call for the cubed hash brown potatoes, the frozen cubed ones. And you could even use what's called the Southern style. They're the O'Brien hash browns, which usually are the cubed potatoes, and then they have diced onions and bell peppers in them. The biggest thing is that I've learned over the years that it's easiest if you thaw the hash browns before stirring them, just because they're often in like a big frozen clump, and it's sometimes hard to get them separated and stirred. If your bag's not, it's fine to start with frozen, but if it's kind of in a clump, just thaw them first. It's not going to hurt anything. And if you shred your own hash brown potatoes, more power to you. You can use those too, but it just takes more time. So I use frozen hash browns. And then butter. Now, I don't have a lot to say about butter. You either use it, you don't, you use more or less, but you know, it varies depending on what your family's recipe is. But I prefer salted butter. I don't usually use margarine. It's not really my preference. I usually just don't buy margarine, so I don't have it on hand. But I like a good salted butter. And here's the part that it's not controversial, but it's just there's a big difference between what people do or don't do is the topping. So do you put topping on or don't you? Not all funeral potatoes have a topping. And it seems like the most common topping is crushed corn flake cereal, but people also use crushed potato chips, sometimes plain, sometimes a flavored, like a sour cream and onion or cheddar and sour cream. People will use panko breadcrumbs and Ritz crackers. I've seen those crispy fried onions that people put on green bean casserole. You could put those on there too. I like the crunch of the corn flakes on the top of the dish, so I actually, you know, like I said, I wait and add them toward the end of baking so that they do crisp up, but they're not getting soggy underneath the foil that's covered there. So a thing to think about is that if you're refrigerating it overnight or freezing it before you bake it, just leave the topping off until you're actually baking it. We're still talking about cooking. Now, I made cheesy hash browns in a crock pot for the first time last Christmas. I hadn't done it that way, and I wondered how to do the cornflake topping, and I asked my sisters, and Heidi said, oh yeah, you can still do the cornflake topping even in a crock pot. You just put it on the top. So I cooked it without the topping for, you know, the morning until we were ready to go to the party. And then I added the cornflakes on the top and then finished cooking it off at the party, and it seemed fine. But if you have some people who like a crunchy topping and some people who don't, I mean, you really could stir the cornflakes and the melted butter together and then toss it on a sheet pan and then just toast it for a few minutes and then serve those on the side. So people would dish out, put their hash brown casserole on their plate, nice and hot, and then they could just scoop out a few of the crunchy little cornflakes with butter that you toasted and throw them on the top for the crunch. You're already going to be, if you're using a topping, you're already going to crush the cornflakes and have the butter out. So tossing them onto a pan and toasting them is really not going to be that much more work. Now, some other ingredients, because I asked you to share your family's recipe for this episode, I learned a few new ingredients to use. So, for example, Kathy Rasmussen, she adds ground beef and taco seasoning to hers. And I really like that idea because then it turns it into a meal that you could serve with a vegetable on the side and then just call it good for a meal. And same with Betsy, she adds ham to hers. So you're not limited to just the potatoes and cheese, you can actually add meat to it as well. Before we move on to the prepping it and baking and storing cheesy hash brown casserole, I want to share a couple more of your recipes. So I'm going to start with two recipes that use cheese other than cheddar. Like I said, cheddar is a pretty popular one, but I'm going to grab Amy Bastian's here. And Amy's note she said, sending the most basic recipe, but everyone likes it. Now that reminds me of a conversation that I had with my friend Andy Foberg a couple weeks ago. We were talking about this episode and she said that she didn't send me hers. And I'm like, why? And she said, well, because mine is nothing special. It's just basic. I laughed and I'm like, well, Andy, that's exactly what hash brown casserole is. It's a basic recipe, nothing special. I mean, it's good, but it's just basic, and that's why we all like it. So, Andy, if you're listening, you crack me up. Okay, so let's go on to Amy Bastian's. Theirs is called Cheesy Hash Browns. And they use, okay, now here's a good, I have to remember, looking at her recipe reminds me that some people write their recipe down, but they're still sort of eyeballing it. So you don't always have exact measurements. Amy's is this way. So she's made it enough that she knows when she's going to the store and buying what she needs. When she says one package shredded hash browns, she knows what size package she's picking up. So there's a package of shredded hash browns. I'm guessing it's probably about 2 pounds is what she uses based on the other ingredients in this recipe. Because she's using one can of cream of mushroom soup, one stick of butter, one tub of sour cream. So again, measurements, but I'm guessing it's probably about 1.5 to 2 cups is probably what that tub is. And then 2 cups of shredded cheese. And she said, I prefer Colby Jack. So there's a different kind of cheese that she's using in there instead of cheddar. And then salt and pepper. So she's melting the stick of butter, adding in a can of soup and the sour cream and stirring that together. And then put the hash browns, cheese, soup mixture all in a large bowl, stir it all up, and then she places it into a glass 9x13 pan and bakes that at 350 for 30 plus minutes, she says. Now I'm guessing it's probably at least 45 minutes, but she does say, I go until the edges are good and crispy. That's my favorite part. So that one is from Amy Bastian. Thank you, Amy, for sending us yours. Good reminder that we can switch up the cheese. All right, this next recipe is Amanda Runya's, and there's a note from Amanda. She's so funny. After I looked at her recipe that she sent to me, and then I mentioned her mother-in-law's recipe is the first one that I've seen with Velveeta, and she said, I buy pre-shredded Velveeta now because ain't nobody got time for that. And I say, amen to that, Amanda. You are right. It's cool that Velveeta has pre-shredded already in the packages, so makes it even easier. So yes, Amanda says that this is her mother-in-law's recipe because she also said that she married into a Velveeta ground beef and cream of soup farm family. So in this recipe, we have 2 pound a 2-pound bag of shredded frozen hash browns, 1 can of cream of chicken soup, 1.5 cups sour cream, and here's that 1 cup of shredded Velveeta, 1/2 a cup of grated onion, 1/2 a cup of butter melted, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of pepper, and 2 cups of crushed cornflake cereal. So she thaws those hash browns and then mixes all the ingredients together, except she only uses 1/4 a cup of the butter, and she's not adding the cornflakes yet, of course. Mixes all that together, puts it in a 9x13 pan, tops it with the cornflakes mixed with the rest of the butter, bakes it 45 minutes at 350 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, when I just saw that, that made me think of something. Oh, so top with cornflakes mixed with the rest of the butter. So you could just, in a little bowl that you've crushed up your cornflakes, pour in the butter into that, stir it up, and then just toss those cornflakes onto the top of your casserole. Me, I'm doing it different, where I'm just sprinkling the butter over the top. But I kind of like this idea where it's a little bit soaking up that butter before the cornflakes land on the top. So this is great. Thank you, Amanda, for that one. Now we're going to talk about prepping. It does not take long. Like, I seriously, okay, I didn't have a picture of my funeral potatoes yet, and so they are in the oven as I'm recording this podcast so that I can quick take a picture. It's not going to be the best on the blog, but it took me like 10 minutes to quick stir it up and get into the oven. So that's a really good, I think it's part of the reason why people really like this, but my most useful tip I can give you is to use a large bowl. I'm just telling you, it's hard to stir all of this up if it's in a bowl that just doesn't have room to, you know, fold it in and mix it around. So, and if you don't know what folding it is in, you're going to have to look up on the internet for the Schitt's Creek episode that talks about folding in the cheese, because it's hilarious if you know what it is or you don't know what it is. But all right, so you can mix it up and prep it in the kitchen and bake it right away like I just did. Toss it in the oven right away. Or you can prep it ahead and then not bake it, but then place it into the refrigerator overnight in the pan that you're going to bake it in, or in a different sealed container, and then you can bake it tomorrow. So yes, you can mix it up ahead. Now you also could mix it up ahead and place it in the freezer. So you could put it in a pan ready to go. I wouldn't necessarily do it in a glass pan, but you can put it in a pan and just make sure that it gets sealed on top. Somehow you cover it well, or put the mixture into a sealed container and put it in the freezer. Because if you have it in a glass pan, just make sure that you thaw it before baking so the pan doesn't crack or break from that immediate intense heat. Or at least put it into a cold oven and let the oven warm up as it's sitting in there. That kind of makes a difference too. Now, if it's in a container, you just want to take it out of the freezer and then thaw that in the refrigerator a day or two ahead. And then you'll spread it into the pan or the crock pot and you'll cook it. So the answer is yes, you can prep it ahead without baking it, put it in the fridge or into the freezer. Now, these next 3 recipes, they're similar, but in Christy Ann's, she does something that I haven't seen before in the preparation step. And so I'm going to share Marie's, Callie's, and Christy Ann's. I'm going to start with Marie's first. Now, Marie is my mother-in-law. Love her. If you listened to the last episode, she was on the episode talking about dill pickle pasta salad and lots of other things. So, okay, her recipe is called cheesy hash browns. And she uses a package of shredded hash browns, a can of cream of chicken soup, 2 cups of shredded cheese, and she has cheddar on here, 3/4 cup sour cream, 1/2 a cup milk, 1/4 cup chopped onion, tablespoon of butter. And then for her topping, she's using 1.5 cups of cornflakes crushed and 2 tablespoons of melted butter. The oven's at 350. She sprays a 2-quart baking dish, combines all the ingredients, except of course the topping. She pours it in the dish and then spreads the topping over the top. Bakes that for 45 minutes or until the hash browns are tender. And she said that this is her favorite go-to, usually double it for family get-togethers. And I want to be part of those family get-togethers where she brings it. So thank you, Marie. All right, Callie's. Now, this is my sister's. And like I said, in our family, we call it hash brown casserole. So we're not fancy. 2 pounds of frozen hash browns, 1/2 cup of margarine or butter, and, oh, yep, see, cream of chicken soup, and it says 10 1/4 ounce. And, you know, the interesting thing is, as times go by, the measurements change a little bit in those canned goods. So right now, for example, a can of Campbell's cream soup, I believe, is 10.5 ounces. And, you know, I bet they were slightly bigger before. So you might see recipes that are, you know, 10 3/4 ounce or something like that. Or depending on brands, that makes a difference too. But generally around that 10 ounce is what we're saying for a can when we're talking about canned soup. So she uses cream of chicken, 1 pint of sour cream, which I bet, Callie, is that hard for you to use that sour cream? Because I know you don't like it. 1/2 cup of onion chopped, 2 cups of cheddar cheese, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of pepper. She bakes that at 350 for 45 minutes. Easy peasy. That's Callie's. And we love it in our family. I don't know why I had to bring it to Christmas last year. Callie, yours are better than mine. Okay, Christiane. This is fun. You guys have heard from Christiane. She was on episode 8. She shared her mom's meatloaf and her grandma's homemade mac and cheese. So Christiane shared her recipe with us, and it's called hash brown potatoes. And she uses 1 pound of frozen hash browns thawed, 1/4 cup of melted butter, can of cream of chicken soup, 1 cup of sour cream, 1 cup of grated cheddar cheese, 1/4 cup of chopped onion, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of pepper, 1/4 cup of melted butter, and 2 cups of crushed cornflake cereal. Boy, we're going to be selling the cornflake cereal today, aren't we? Now, here's where it's a little different. She combines the butter, soup, sour cream, cheese, onion, salt, and pepper. Then she heats that until the cheese is melted, and then she adds the hash browns. Then she just adds that all into the 9x13 and tops it with the cornflakes and the melted butter. She bakes it 45 minutes at 350 degrees. So that's an easy way to get that the soup and all of that combined when it's warm, and then the cheese is melty, so then the hash browns put in. That's a good idea. I hadn't thought of that. Thanks, Christiane. Okay, we're going to talk about the couple ways how to cook the cheesy hash browns or funeral potatoes. So the only 2 methods really that I've seen for cooking are either bake it in the oven or you cook it in a slow cooker or a big roaster. I'm sure you can make it on the grill. And I'm going to tell you, the best hash brown casserole that I ever made was on an Easter when I was baking a ham in the oven. And then I added the cheesy hash brown to the oven when the ham was in there and made, you know, baked the whole time with the ham in there. It was the most wonderful one I've ever had. So I need to replicate that. But, oh, you know what I need to do? So I talked about smoking cheese, but I bet, oh my gosh, Jason, if you're listening, we're going to smoke cheese, then we're going to make funeral potatoes and cook it on the smoker so that it's actually a pan of smoked funeral potatoes. So there you go. In the oven, it's usually 350 degrees Fahrenheit. And I've seen anywhere from, you know, that 30 minutes plus up to an hour. So you just kind of have to keep an eye on it. And sometimes people like it a little crispier or browner on the top. So you just have to watch it after at least 45 minutes and see when you want to take it out. You don't want it to burn on the bottom either, because that's no fun. But crock pot, slow cooker, looks like kind of an average is if you put it in a bigger crock pot, you're going to be cooking it 4 hours on low or 2 hours on high. And I did get a few recipes that are done in the slow cooker. Like I said, when I did it at Christmas last year, that was my first time doing it in the slow cooker. But I got recipes from Kathy, Betsy, and Judy. Heidi gave me Judy's, and those are all in slow cookers. So I'm going to hit Kathy's here first. This is so cool. Kathy Rasmussen. So Kathy grew up in South Dakota, but she lives in Minnesota now and has for many years. I think she said since 1973. Well, what's really fun, I don't know Kathy, but her husband is the, I have to look at what she said here. So Jill Kween, who was on episode 14, I think it was, the one with snickerdoodle pie, Jill shared her snickerdoodle pie on episode 14. And Jill Kween's dad, is Kathy's brother. So that was a long way around to that, but okay, so it's aunt. It would be an aunt. Kathy's an aunt of Jill's, and she sent us her recipe, and it's so cool because it's very different from what I have seen, and I can't wait to try this one. She calls it taco potato casserole. So she uses one large crock pot with a crock pot liner. I like that. She uses a pound of ground beef or turkey, browns it with onion and garlic, and then while she's browning that meat, she dumps into the crock pot 2 pounds or more of frozen shredded hash browns. When the meat's done, then she dumps that into the crock pot along with a can of cheddar cheese soup, a half a cup of sour cream, 2.5 cups of shredded cheese, and she has cheddar on here, and then 1 packet of taco seasoning or more if you like. Now that flavor is going to be so good. And then she put optional, I think sometimes she puts in some cooked celery and red pepper, which that would be similar to the Southern Potatoes O'Brien that I was talking about, adding a little bit of pepper, bell pepper. So she places everything in the crock pot, mixes it up well, cooks it on low for 4 hours or 2 hours on high. And she said that the cook time varies, you know, depending on the consistency of the hash brown. So that one is taco potato casserole from Kathy Rasmussen. Thank you, Kathy, for sending that one over. Okay, Betsy Ziegler. I love this one because, okay, so Betsy is my sister-in-law and she lives in North Dakota. And I love it. She texted me and it is so short that it fits on a tiny little recipe card. She says, I throw ham, hash browns, cream of mushroom soup, and sour cream in a crock pot, then add Fiesta blend cheese toward the end. I eye everything. And that's it. I love it. See how simple it is? Now, Andy, this is why I'm saying it doesn't have to be anything spectacular. Betsy, I really love the Fiesta blend cheese. That's a great idea. You don't add it till the end, toward the end. And so that's interesting too. I like that. And you kind of know, depending on how much you're making or how many people, how much you need to add in there. So Betsy Ziegler adding Fiesta blend cheese. Okay, the last one that I have to share, and this is a crockpot one again, is a recipe from my sister Heidi's mother-in-law Judy, who passed away last fall. Heidi was looking for Judy's recipe. I'm trying to remember what she told me. She was looking for Judy's recipe, but she couldn't find it because she knew it was one that doesn't have cheese. And she was looking through a community cookbook from somewhere around our area here. And Judy had submitted the recipe to that cookbook, so she found it in the cookbook. It's precious. So Heidi wrote it on a recipe card for me, and I'm going to share it with you today. Again, this is one that does not have cheese. So somebody who just is like, I just don't want that much cheese, this one might be interesting to you. So Judy calls this company potato casserole. And it's a smaller recipe too. She's using 3 cups of frozen hash browns, partially thawed, 1/2 cup of butter melted, 1/2 cup of chopped onion, 10¾-ounce can of cream of chicken soup, and 1/2 cup of sour cream. So she combines all those ingredients except for the sour cream. So she's putting hash browns, butter, onion, and cream of chicken soup into a small, like a little croquette crock pot. She would cook that. She would cover it and then cook it for 7 to 9 hours. So I'm guessing it was on a low setting. And then during the last hour of cooking, she would add the sour cream. So now we have Judy's recipe. I'm so happy for that. That's great. That's all the recipes that I have. But, you know, people will say, well, can I bake it ahead? And yes, you can bake the hash brown casserole ahead and then store it in the refrigerator. So if you know you have something to go to tomorrow, you need to bake it ahead and then just quick reheat it or go wherever you're going and then heat it up there, reheat it. You can do that. I just wouldn't store it in the refrigerator for more than a couple days. After that, it will kind of start to fall apart on you. Speaking of what to do with it when there's leftovers, let's just talk a second about storing it or cooking those leftovers. So as I mentioned in that preps, in the step when you're prepping it, you can stir together the funeral potatoes and then store it in the refrigerator to bake it a day later, or you can put it in the freezer and then bake it another time. Just be sure that the containers are sealed tightly. You'll want to store leftovers in a sealed container in the refrigerator, but eat it within 4 days. Or you could store leftovers in the freezer, and I'd keep those in up about to about 4 months, I think, is kind of the general rule for something like that. After that, it's not going to probably have the best flavor and might start getting a little freezer burned, so up to 4 months. And then to reheat leftovers, just bake them in the oven. Or what I do a lot of times is I'll heat it in a frying pan and kind of crisp it up a little bit. So it makes a really good breakfast side with bacon and eggs. If you have some leftover from a holiday, just wait and eat some for breakfast in the morning. Now, if this isn't a dish that you have made before, or if you're wondering, well, what do I pair with it? I have a couple of ideas. So, well, first of all, I can't really imagine anything would be wrong with serving it with anything. But then when I think about it, I think, well, I really don't want to eat cheesy hash brown casserole as a side to spaghetti. So here's just some of my thoughts. Hash brown casserole, it's a popular dish to serve at holiday meals. So it really pairs nicely with protein like ham and turkey, roast beef, steak. I like it with chicken and pork chops. It also means that it's a great weeknight side. You don't have to just wait for a holiday. I don't know why we do wait for a holiday. Maybe because it's not a very healthy dish, but you know, especially if you have meat in a crock pot and then cheesy hash browns ready in the refrigerator to bake, or the other way around, it makes a really easy meal to come home to at night to make. Now you could do like Kathy does and add, you know, the protein directly to the dish. For example, you could make cheesy hash browns with bacon or sausage or ham like Betsy does and serve it in the morning alongside some eggs and fresh fruit. And you could do that even without adding the protein directly into the dish. Just have some good crispy bacon on the side. But just remember, it is a heavy dish, so much like mashed potatoes and gravy. So lighter accompaniments like steamed vegetables and maybe a light salad, those complement it pretty well when you have a meat and those potatoes. So it's also really good for a summer picnic, like alongside grilled hot dogs or brats, hamburgers on the grill. And cheesy potato hash brown tastes really good with barbecue dishes, like a shredded pork or barbecue ribs. And a lot of times you're doing crowds, making this and serving for a crowd. So you're thinking, how much should I make for a crowd? Or what if I only want enough for a few servings? So like Marie said in her recipe, she doubles it for a crowd, and I do the same. Now, for Christmas, I didn't know what to do, and I always make too much food. I know that. So at Christmas, I quadrupled the recipe for our family of about 24 people. And all of that did not even fit in my really large slow cooker. So I set some aside, uncooked, put it in the freezer immediately. I baked that later, you know, a couple weeks later. It was great. Plus, even what fit in the crock pot, I still had leftovers that I froze. Again, thaw them and make them later. So I could have definitely gotten by with probably at the most making a triple batch, and I still would have had leftovers. And that was for like 24 people. So if you're feeding 50 people, I'd probably quadruple. I bet that would have been enough to serve to 50 people. Maybe do 5 times the recipe for 50 people, then you'll definitely have enough and leftovers. If you're thinking more like 100 guests, if you have a graduation party and you want these served in a crock pot, I would probably make 8 to 10 batches. And then you could have some in crock pots or bake them in the oven ready to be putting into the crock pots as the crock pots get lower, or switch out the crock pots if you have multiple, or borrow crock pots from your sister like I do. Now, for a smaller batch, though, if you want something smaller than a 9 by 13 pan, you could cut any of these recipes in half. You would just have to, you know, think of something to do with that other half of the can of soup, because almost all of them are calling for a can of soup. But you could prep one full recipe like we're talking about today, and then put some small portions unbaked, so don't bake it, but put small portions in sealed containers and then store them in the freezer. Then you could just pull one out and bake it anytime you want. So you could even put some of those small portions into those little, the small aluminum, the little loaf pans, and then just cover them with foil, and then slide them into freezer bags, and then you can just pull one out when you just want one or two servings. So there's a way to do those kinds of things, and because this can be frozen, made ahead and frozen, it's a really good thing, comfort food that you can make. That's it. We've come to the end, and that was fun. So I think we should do it again. I don't know what recipes should we do next. I'd like to see people's tater tot hot dish recipes and goulash. I'd like to see people's goulash, but I don't know. We're coming into the summer, so maybe we should think about things to share that are a little bit lighter, good for the hot weather and not turning on our ovens. But I'd really like to hear your ideas for episodes and guests. So email me at stacy@randomsweets.com. Remember, it's stacy@randomsweets.com. Now, I really hope that you join me for episode 20, the last week in April, for a topic that's completely outside the realm of food, but one that affects all communities. April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month, and I'm sitting down with East Central CASA's Executive Director, Julie Wormers, and the Volunteer Coordinator and Case Manager, Amy Henrich, and Program Director and Volunteer Coordinator, Terry Mielitz. And we talk about how CASA, which stands for Court Appointed Special Advocate, how CASA advocates for children and youth who have experienced abuse or neglect. And I am so honored to host Ashley Rhodes Corder as a guest on that show as well. Beginning at age 3, Ashley was in Florida's foster care system, where she spent almost 10 years being shuttled between 14 homes, some which were quite abusive, before being adopted from a children's home at the age of 12. Ashley is the author of the New York Times and international bestseller, Three Little Words, and the book Three More Words. She's a sought-after international keynote speaker, licensed therapist, and founder of her own nonprofit, the Foundation for Sustainable Families. She's a wife and a mother, and as a foster parent herself, she and her husband have cared for more than 25 children who were victims of extreme abuse and neglect. So I really hope that you tune in. The episode is going to be longer than normal because I have 4 guests, but trust me, it is so worth it. So I really hope you tune in. And in the meantime, read Ashley's book, Three Little Words, which is actually now being made into a major motion picture. And if you live in this area, purchase a ticket to East Central CASA's Fire and Ice Gala. It is on Friday, May 12th in Brookings, South Dakota. And we will be treated to hearing Ashley's inspirational story about how she was able to turn her pain into power and productivity for herself and others. And she is the keynote speaker in person that night. So get your tickets. It's May 12th. It's in Brookings, South Dakota, if you're in the area. All right, it's been a pleasure talking all things funeral potatoes today. Remember, the recipes are all on randomsweets.com. Please follow, sign up for alerts, rate, review, and share the show with your friends, even if they've never listened to a podcast and you might get stuck showing them how to find it and how to subscribe. Thank you to all of you who shared your recipes. I'm so excited, and I just really appreciate that you took the time to send those and allowed me to share them with everyone else. It's a great community I hope that we're building. I'm glad to be part of it, and I'm so glad that you're part of it. So thank you. Sweet wishes.